koutou katoa and welcome to Well with Anahila, the Labourist MP based in Papakura. Well, today, hope everyone's well today. Today, our theme is Te Tiriti o Waitangi, a partnership with Māori and the Crown. So we have two leaders in Papakura, and I thought it would be a good idea to have a kōrero, a conversation with them about what does that look like. You know, what does a partnership with Māori and the Crown look like in Papakura? So today we've got Whaia Ann Kendall. So Whaia Ann Kendall is the QSM for services to Māori and the community at Papakura Marae Trustee, a patron of Whaitiaki ki Papakura Trust, member of the Tāmaki ki Tonga District Māori Council, member of Papakura Rōpū Māori Community Group, hosts the annual celebrations of our Champions event, and chairperson of Marotiri Pureora Forestry, Hapu Forestry, Hapu Cluster Trust, a mother and grandmother has lived in Papakura for many years. Also today we've got Kaumātua Dr. Hare Williams, MSN, MNZM for services to Māori, the arts and education, on expert historian, accomplished poet, a poet, commentator, broadcaster, father of the new MP for Manurewa, Arena Williams, and has lived in Papakura for many years. Kia ora kōrua, welcome to Well with Anahila.
Kia ora Anahila, Hare Williams here, tēnā koutou katoa.
Oh, tēnā koe.
Kia ora Ann Kendall here.
Yeah, kia ora whaia. So that's our conversation today. Our kōrero is, as we are leading up to our national observation of Te Riti o Waitangi, it's great to have our two guests on the show right here from Papakura Electric, Nau Mai, Haere Mai Whaia and Mātua, Dr. Hare Williams. So my question really, as I introduce our kōrero today, a partnership with Māori and the Crown, what the partnership, what does that look like in our community in Papakura? I'll give you an opportunity to introduce yourself before I ask any questions. How's that?
Okay,
thank you for the introduction. So my name is Ann Kendall. I have been in Papakura for close to 45 years now.
45 years.
Been involved in the community for that long. My children went to school here. And my granddaughter was also born here in Papakura. So we have three generations living in Papakura.
Hare Williams, I descend from Te Aitanga Mahaki of Gisborne, Te Rangane Akiwa, and I also have connections with Tūhoe. But I guess my redeeming feature as far as the treaty is concerned, I've been involved with treaty education, largely with corporate groups and universities and schools and other organisations, in alerting them to the importance of the treaty in our community, the relevance of the treaty in 1840, what it meant then, and the relevance of the treaty now, and what it means in the future for our identity as New Zealanders. Wena, Anahila.
Oh, thank you, Hare, and thank you, Whaia Ann. Probably following on from your kōrero, Hare, what do you think that looks like in Papakura?
I think Papakura was a centre for military activities here in 1860. Māori were a prosperous nation, owning ships and horticulture and agricultural enterprises. If you look line from Patimahoe to Thames across to Tehiki, Māori Waikato owned and operated 37 flour mills. Shipping moving out of Raglan to come to Auckland to bring produce, fruit, hen, meat, pigs, all of those kinds of produce, and wheat, of course, and flour. They own flour mill. Bringing those things to Onehunga and to protect and to feed settlers. They wanted to be part of the development of this new nation called New Zealand, Aotearoa, as we call it today. But along the way, there's been a betrayal by the Crown in terms of what's happened. But I'm here with Anne has invited me to come here also speak about the things we can celebrate. It's my pleasure to join Stora Potoko Manawa, a popo in our community here in Papakura, and that's Anne Kendall.
Well, thank you for that, Matua, because it's always good to understand the background. That's 161 years ago up till now, 2021. And perhaps our listeners who are listening, it is really relevant to know about our history here in Aotearoa, and our conversation today is what does that look like. So, the Fire Anne, we are on the verge of celebrating Te Tiriti o Waitangi on the February 6th. What are examples of partnership have you seen been part of in Papakura that you've been part of?
Actually, we've seen some exciting parts. So one of the changes that's happened, or one of the exciting things for me, is that we no longer look at the crown as being the answer for us.
Oh, good.
We are now looking at ourselves as being the architects of our journey and the experts in the response to it. How we support our people is actually by being, I guess, the link between the services that can help them to help them progress to where they want to be. For example, I mean, if you just talk recently with the lockdown and the mobilisation of Papakura Marae. So at this point, I really would like to acknowledge our Chair Brian Joyce and also our CEO Tony Kake. So when the Crown were not able to move during lockdown to support not only our people but our community, the Marae kicked into gear and did that. So they provided the food parcels, they provided the medication that was needed. They were also taking phone calls for whānau that couldn't come to the clinic. You know, everything that they put in place was for the benefit of our people and also for the benefit of our community. And we've been very lucky to have a whānau order service and being able to wrap that service around our people and our community. We also have a clinic up there. So the clinic has been quite good at being instrumental ensuring that the people did get their medicines and that they were kept in a healthier space. But they were also on the front line of doing testing during that period. And because there's been in and out of levels, it did create a lot of concerns for us. We have we run a couple of programs at the Marae as well, and one of the ones for me that's really, I think, is beneficial in terms of a relationship is the Te Pai Oranga program. So the Te Pai Oranga program is a relationship really between the Crown, I guess, the police and the Marae. And that's having our community or our people come before a panel of Māori under a pre-charge. So they come up with a pre-charge rather than being charged in a court. And we have an opportunity to build that relationship with that whānau so that they become productive, active community people. So in that process, they have to accept their wrongdoing. They have to be part of the solution of correcting that process. And they certainly have to agree to a window where we have 6 to 8 weeks where they will address that. And the one thing I would like to maybe explore is we know that we've been recognised, the Marae has been recognised as a trusted entity, but still our crown contracts don't go past, some of them are still a year, but they certainly don't go past 3 years. And that maybe needs to be extended. The relationship between the two. And then finally, just with Waitiaki. So a lot of people don't know the whakapapa behind Waitiaki. Waitiaki fell out of Alan Clark's program of action that rolled out in Auckland. And the partnership at that time was between Auckland Regional Council and Internal Affairs to get out on the ground and find out what community wanted and how they could meet community needs. So Waitiaki fell out of that process, and today Waitiaki is still maybe the only Māori organisation registered in Parliament as an excellent working model between Māori and local government.
That's great.
And nobody knows. Mm. I don't think a lot of people know their Whakapapa tour.
Yes, I didn't know either. So you're educating me as well as everyone else that's listening. Yes.
Yeah, and leading up to today, one of the things we said that we would do would be to hold local and central government accountable for their interaction or their relationship with Māori. And I've been involved with the Oranga Tamariki drive at the Treaty of Waitangi and the tribunal, so we presented at that. Also been involved with the water claim. I didn't present at that one. I am involved with the Mana Waihine, and that treaty claim is coming up, and we will present at that one in Tūranga Waiwai at the end of next month. So there's been a few things we've been involved with in Papakura.
Definitely.
Supporting its own people.
Definitely. I did, in all the programs that you've shared, I remember that I've been at the opening. Is it that they're Paul heading a waka? Is it the program? And that program is for family violence happening in the home. So before police lays a charge, they come in front of you with the issues, and then you talk about it before it actually they charge whoever the person is that's the perpetrator of violence. So that's a really great initiative. And how did the police, probably for the police to get to a program like that, how did that come about?
From what I understand, the whakapapa behind that was because we were becoming more and more the people that represent the prison.
Yes.
You know, if you're going to prison because you've got a speeding ticket or you've been picked up without a license three times, not a good reason to go to jail.
That's right.
It's not a good reason to have a track record on the police files as a criminal. It's just not a good enough reason. So I guess if we had to thank anyone that's been driving this, would be Wally Homaha.
Who
has been part and parcel of looking at alternatives where we could work together between the police, Māori, and the court. And I think it's an exciting program. It's an exciting look
at definitely.
How we take care of our own and how we make a difference in bringing back Kaumātua influence with our people.
Yeah, that's really a great example of Māori working with Māori to get a good outcome, not just for Māori, but for Aotearoa as well. Thank you for sharing that information, Fire. And I've just got a question. In 2018, we had the local MP, the Minister, Honourable Nanae Mahuta, and our Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern, visited Papakura Marae to approve infrastructure funding for the build of the 6 Kaumātua homes next to the Marae. Can you share about that project, please, Fire, and what was the project like? When are Kaumātua expected to move in?
This is a fantastic program. There's been a lot of learning. I guess if I had to start from the beginning, the greatest learning was we've got out of this is landfills. Landfills are not a good thing because we've had to remove all the rubbish in the landfill at the back of the Marae in order to be able to build some of these homes.
So was the back of the Marae actually a landfill?
Yes.
Okay.
So there was a lot of concrete and old cars. And, you know, when you remove them, then you upset the land. So we've had to resettle the land back to its original use. And it's now actually stable and it's good for building. But that was one of the learnings. The other learning, I guess, from us was the fact that we've been trusted to do this and given the confidence to achieve it. So this has been a fabulous journey, and having building 6 homes is just wonderful for our people. So some of the things we've done, we have had conversations with Kaumātua Queer and asked them, you know, what do you want in your home? You're going to live in it. What do you want? What would look good for you? And their feedback around simple things like where our hot points would be, and instead of it being down the bottom on the floor, it's maybe up at the top level, where the toilet is situated in that building, it's easily accessible to the kitchen, to the the dining room and to the bedroom. So it's some of those things that Kaumata were able to feed into. And just give us an idea. So out of the 8 things that the Kaumata came up with, 6 of them we can achieve, a couple we can't. We are at the point of having 6 buildings or 6 homes that you can now lock. So we can lock the door now, which is really good. Meaning that the walls are up, the windows are up.
Yes.
And, yeah, and 2, 3, and 4, well on the way to being completed.
Great.
2, 3, 4, yeah, and 5, sorry. So we're still working. The ones that took the most land with was where number 1 unit and number 6 is.
And, I think you were just about to say it. When are we looking at having Kaumata Akuia move in?
We were looking at the end of May, but we may have to shift that out. And the reason we may have to shift it out is cladding has been one issue. The cladding material has been sitting out in the middle of the wharf, and we haven't been able to get that in. So that was meant to come in, I think, last year. In September, then it was moved to the beginning of January, and it's been moved again. And that's the case of what's happening on the wharf and getting that material in, including some of the kitchen material. So the opening may be moved to June.
Okay, June.
But they're fabulous. They look fabulous. There's a little storage up the top. You know, the space is open where there's no chance of Kaumata tripping on things. We've moved things because they didn't want them, like an island on a kitchen. It wasn't suitable for them. Hey, thank you for not only you and Jacinda for supporting this and the Naya, but also for UK support. Yeah. We have meetings every week. We meet with the builder and the project manager. So we can keep on top of it. And, yeah.
Well, thank you.
We're very blessed to have a good CEO that's been driving this as well.
Yeah.
Just before I finish, I wanted to thank you personally.
Oh, thank you.
You've been down the Marae often to help with the Kaumata, preparing the Kaumata Kai for Christmas Day. And we really appreciate that.
Oh, thank you.
That you are where you are now and continue to grow where our community's going.
Thank you, Whaia, and that was really awesome, kōrero, because you spoke that is a really great example of what the treaty partnership looks like, Māori development in our community. You've spoken about the food parcels, the services by whānau ora. We talked a bit about the family violence program that we're partnering with police before whānau gets charged, or the person who's perpetrating the violence get charged. And of course, Whaitiaki ki Papakura became a model that is shared nationally within New Zealand. And of course, I ask you about the Papakura Marae and the Kaumata Akuia homes, because it does take that long to build the homes from 2018 when it was approved, and we're looking at June this year. So it's taken 3 years for turnkey for Kaumata to move in, and I look forward to the opening, to see all the hard work that has come to that point. And thank you for acknowledging me, and I just want to say thank you for what you do, your leadership in Papakura. It's just great to have someone who cares about the people and always approachable to have a kōrero around what's happening in Papakura. We'll just move to you, Hare. I know we've got half an hour and the time just went so long. Matua Hare, you spoke to us about what a prosperous Māori community back in 1860, you know, about 161 years ago to where we are now. So my question really, Matua Hare, is what are the practical ways that everyday Kiwi could acknowledge or action to the Te Reti Partnership principles in Papakura?
Oh, for a start, we have a lot celebrate. This Waitangi Day, I think New Zealand has converged on Waitangi because we have something to celebrate, the uniqueness of this nation.
Yeah,
that we have a government in place that could developed this nation as the most livable democracy on the planet.
Mm.
We are the envy of the world because our treaties are something unique. America, Africa, Australia, well, Australia has no treaty. But the treaty is for Māori, like a covenant between God and the state. The state to provide for the people. Now, George Grey betrayed New Zealanders. It betrayed New Zealanders through our education system. It took away our whenua and our mana. This coming Waitangi Day, I want to celebrate.
Great.
I want to celebrate that we are a nation who survived the conflicts of the 1860s, 1870s. Conflict that is still happening in New Zealand.
Yes.
Rumatau is not quite resolved yet. I'm looking for a resolution of the Rumatau. The best point, Tangata, Mauna Pohatu. These are flash points in terms of our history, in terms of the treatment of people by the judiciary and by parliament. What I want to celebrate is the unique nature of our nation that is protected by the Treaty of Waitangi. Article 2 protects both people who founded the Treaty of Waitangi. I want to celebrate the diversity that is guaranteed in the treaty, in the fourth article of the treaty, which is invoked by Bishop Pantelier, that to protect the spiritual values of Māori, the customs and their traditions and their history. Now, the treaty protected that. But something that is unknown to other people, it protected the religious diversity of New Zealand's culture. It protected Pacifica. Today, the treaty protects Muslims. And we have a government that has shown that manaakitanga, tātou tātou, te iwi kotahi tātou, all of these virtues are an important part of the Treaty of Waitangi. So when you people who are listening go to Waitangi on the 5th of February, because that's the most important day, that's the day Māori signed the Treaty of Waitangi at Te Tī Marae. The one that happened on the 6th of February is a Pākehā treaty where people lined up and Henry Williams and other dignitaries and William Hobson endorsed the Treaty of Waitangi. So we have a lot to celebrate. I want to celebrate our rangatahi in Parliament. I was asked a question by Radio New Zealand for my reflections of the general election in 2020. My comment to that is that Parliament, especially Labour, is bristling with talent. Youth, rangatahi, Māori talent, Pacifica, a diversity of representation in Parliament. I see a new direction, new purpose in our rangatahi entering Parliament. They're young, they're women, they're Māori women, and they're educated, they're fluent in our two founding languages, and those people are going to lead our country towards the ideal place that is now the envy of the world. Māori language is an intrinsic part of this journey forward. Kia ora, Nanaia. Congratulations. That's another thing I want to congratulate. Nanaia now is in a position to showcase Māori culture, te reo, and our arts to the rest of the world. And to you too, Anahida, for your mana, for your arts of the Papakura Marae.
Thank you, Matua Hare. It's really heartening to hear your kōrero today. I know our time is short, but for non-Māori to hear from you, especially Pacific people, sometimes they question how they can relate to Te Tiriti o Waitangi, and definitely Article 4 in protecting the spiritual values of Māori and migrants coming into Aotearoa New Zealand. I think that's all we can offer as migrants, is to understand in a spiritual level, especially the Polynesians, Tongan. I can connect with Māori through the spiritual values. So that's something that I would be definitely looking at, and hopefully to share that with our Tongan community and the Pacific community out there. Well, actually, we are short. We're out of time. We've got 4 minutes to go. And one of the things that we do talk about in Well With Anahila is, how do you keep well? How do you keep your well-being? So if I can ask both of you to probably take a minute to share on how do you keep well in your very busy, productive days that you've just shared with us, and I've seen you around in Papakura. Maybe we can start with you, Whaiaheen, and then Matua Hare.
How do I keep well with being busy? Karakia in the morning is important. Early morning, there's a breeze that comes through that's very calm and very caressing. It takes you back to your whakapapa in the first breath of your mother when you were born. So when you go back to that connection of where you came from and how you came into the world, through prayer and through karakia, gets you up for the day going forward.
I don't accept the word retirement. Mm-hmm. I don't accept
that's right, yeah.
I'm old. Those are part of our conspiracy to make us feel that we're useless. The Māori word for it is kaumātua.
Kaumātua.
The elevation of a person to another level, another status of intellectual integration with the community. I have a karakia at 4 o'clock. It connects me to nature, it connects me to the bush, to the trees, to the bird, and to all life. And that keeps me sharp for the rest of the day. And I say to myself, this will be the best day of my life. And every morning when I wake up, I say, this is the best day of my life.
Kia ora. Oh, that's just wonderful, and it's a good reminder for me as a Tongan to practice what I was taught, karakia in the morning and karakia in the evening, and like to tautoko the kōrero around retirement. There is no retirement. This is the best time to be contributing to our growing generations of being kuia kaumātua. I'd really love for us to have another kōrero during the year, basically around the teaching of New Zealand history in Aotearoa, and what would that look like in Papakura. So we'll come back another time, because we are almost out of time. And on that note, I want to take this opportunity to thank you, Whaiaheen Kendall, for your contribution to today's program. Not just today's program, for all the things that you do out in Papakura. We're seeing what we see you out leading in the community, and it gives, I think, for me, it warms my heart that there is someone out there who really cares and who understands what's happening in whānau and in the community. And to you, kaumātua, Dr. Hari Williams, thank you very much. I can never get enough of hearing and listening to your kōrero wherever you talk. It warms my heart to know that hopefully we are the last generations of non-Māori speakers, and in future our kids will have be bilingual English and te reo Māori, and for Tongans it can be trilingual, and that would be something that I look forward to for my grandchildren. And we are now out of time. I've been waved. We're out of time. Thank you very much for joining me, Well With Anahila, the Labour List MP based in Papakura. Have an awesome, warm, heartfelt Waitangi Day when we celebrate the signing of Te Tiriti on the 5th of February, and of course endorsing that on the 6th of February, where we celebrate that as a nation. Ka kite anō.
Thanks.
Thank you.